Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and I want to welcome two people to the studio now. We've got Lucretia Bird and Taimoana Muli. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
So these guys are from Waikerri Sculpture Studio. They're the first of, I'm doing quite a few interviews about Raglan Arts Weekend. And you guys, obviously sculpture, you work with sculpture. Waikerri Sculpture Studio, is it out by Manun Bay? Because I know that's the original name for that piece of land.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I didn't know the name, original name, until recently, and I just thought it was appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you do sculpture, what kind of sculpture is it? Like you're chiseling out a stone
of sculpture? Basically anything really, but our main medium is hard stone. Yeah.
And I mean, you're sitting on the edge of a mountain there. Do you get the stone from this mountain? Where do you get the stone from?
So we're working with the Orkiri basalt and the grey speckled andesite near from different places around the Raglan area.
Okay. And Lucretia, you you're a sculptor, or you've been an artist for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been an artist, I guess you would say, since about 2008 when I did the Māori arts program that was run out of Poihakina Marae, through Te Wānanga or Aotearoa. So I started sort of dabbling with clay around that time, and I'm moving towards stone now, hard stone, and one day I'd like to work with bronze. I've found a love for portraiture, so I'm wanting to slowly transition into portraiture with more permanent materials. So I've done a bit of portraiture with clay, as you can see in the Raglan Chronicle edition.
We brought that up for a little bit of it, so I could quickly see what the work you guys do looks like. When you say portraiture, though, I immediately think of paintings.
Yeah, well, there's sculptural portraiture so it's not very common in New Zealand. It's hard to find people to get any tuition or advice or inspiration from within New Zealand. There's not many people.
Okay.
I did a bit of self-learning on YouTube, actually, when I was finishing my degree at WinTech.
Right.
But I have I sort of have a real draw to hard stone, so...
Yeah. Could we spin the mic around a little bit so it's facing you? Yeah, that's it. They're very directional, and it doesn't want to play ball, does it? Okay, that'll do. This is the first time you guys have been in the Arts Weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. For me it is, yeah.
Yeah, Lucretia, I'm aware that you've been around for quite a while. Ty, you've been here but been away and come back, is that the story?
Yeah.
And how long have you been a sculpturist?
I think close to 30 now.
30 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very close.
Yeah, and folks, you've got to check out, if you can find, well, there's the Chronicle and there's probably some Arts Weekend stuff online too. You've got to check out Ty's work. It looks awesome, and also very large, some of it.
Yeah. I think the largest today would be about 50 tonne. Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah, it was.
And you said to me off the air, it cost a lot to shift.
I think from where we purchased the stone, it was about half an hour for the cranes, and lifting all trucks and stuff was $39,000 or something.
Nearly $40,000.
Yeah, just to move it from half an hour away to the location.
I guess nothing, when it comes to sculpture, they're not cheap items. They're not coasters.
Everything's delicate and... it was a tricky spot to get into, so they had to use an 80-ton crane and a 100-ton.
And how long does it take to just make a sculpture that big?
I guess if you work every day, you know, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, it's going to take 4 months. This one took 6 months. There's a bit of a story to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's at the Pukeiri Gardens in Taranaki, Mount Taranaki.
Yeah.
It was a tribute to my little brother.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and if people want to know more about that, they can kind of look it up. Yeah.
So who commissioned that, or who paid that money?
Taranaki Regional Council.
Okay. Yeah.
So I kind of do... I've done a lot of commissions all over the place, but I prefer just to make my own stuff now and not have the pressure of commissions. So I just want to be free flow, just make your own stuff. And it just feels a lot better, no pressure. You're not under any guidelines on timeframes.
Yeah, yeah. And so, okay, so what sort of things inspire your work then when it's not a commission?
Oh, definitely the ocean and the bush, Nahiri, Tangaroa, anything to do with the natural surroundings. Life experiences. Yep, that's definitely got a big planet, but more so that our natural beauty that's around us.
And Lucretia, you've got what I'm looking at there is a piece of clay work, but you want to get into, or you are getting into, sculpture, like stone sculpture.
Yes, sorry. So I'm transitioning from more temporary materials to more permanent materials. But a lot of the learning is in managing the tools. Because obviously with hard stone, it's you're using heavy grinders and you know, concrete saws and things like that. So for me at the moment, it's about simplifying. So I'm having to strip back my thinking around my design to simplify so that I can actually manage it in a more technical sense. Because obviously I'm going to be not as strong as the men, and it's a male dominated arena. There's not many female hard stone sculptors that are doing well in New Zealand, and a lot of that I believe is we're raising children. I'm raising five.
That'll keep you busy.
And you've got to put in the time, you know. And you've also got to be strong enough to be able to hold these machines for long enough to really put in the hours, and it takes a long time.
So I was going to say, but with a machine, surely your strength doesn't matter, but you're saying the machines themselves are quite unwieldy.
Yeah, well, they're heavy and dangerous, and it's dusty, and you know, when you're holding a big saw, you can only do it for short stints, and it requires a lot of upper body strength, so it's a challenge just getting my head and body around the machinery and tools that are required, which means I really have to strip back my design, because I can't just create a face like I would like to in clay. I have to really simplify everything down just to get better at using the machines and dealing with the nature of the material.
And how long does it take to feel like you've gotten good at this sort of thing, given there's obviously a lot of technique required and it's three-dimensional as well, so that might be relatively new. We kind of, you know, we do painting at school sometimes, but we don't do 3D stuff. So, Ty, how long did it take you before you thought, actually, I'm good at this now?
Well, at the start, I thought I was great.
All right.
Yeah, learned that lesson. Yeah. To be honest, you might do up to 20, 25 sculptures, and then, boom, you hit one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yes, hit it, you know, and you nailed it. So one out of 20 to 25, really. So it might be within a 3-year bracket, and then you really crack one, and then you develop your style more and more, and then you're inspired by something else, and then like Lucretia said, you got to simplify. Especially in hard stone, a simple line can say 1,000 words. You want to... Yes, where you're going to put it, how you're going to describe it. Do you go with the natural form of the stone, or do you block out and reshape your design, whether it might be doing realism, cubism, whatever floats your boat, really. But I've experienced with all sorts. I'm not very good at realism. That's it's another level. Yeah, it's a lot of training in that. You got to work with marquettes and molds, and commitment, that one.
So you're making I imagine I'd want to make something out of wood first
to give
it a bash and see.
Yeah, it's definitely a good start. We started with soft stone, Hinawera, and didn't have the luxury of the Oamaru stone, but the Hinawera is not very good for you and bad for the tools, full of silica.
There's a lot to. I can see there's a lot to learn, a lot more than I would have realised.
Yeah, technical. Yeah, every stone's got a different hardness. You want to know your selection of stone is the key.
Yeah.
So you select good quality stone, and you shouldn't have any problems, and that you can test it by sound and locations, and long as if you go into quarries, you don't want to get anything blasted. You want to get things just raw.
So if it's blasted, they've used like explosives to break it out. Fractured. So it might have fractured. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So you get halfway through a piece and suddenly
something falls off.
Yeah. Either something falls off or it exposes it's a fracture within.
Yeah.
Oh, then what do you do?
You get angry.
that's the first step.
And then you get a new rock.
Have you ever tried to build it in, or is it not worth it? Cause
I've worked with Maritoto and it's broken on me 7 times. So it's a test of your character. So so it breaks. Okay, you got to rechange. Then it breaks again, breaks again, breaks again. If you can just persevere and cut through it all and redesign on the spot, you're doing something pretty good. You're on the right track.
You just got to get in the flow, I guess.
And just redesign, straight off the cuff, And especially when you're in competitions and symposiums, because you've got a short amount of time.
Okay.
So it might be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or right down to 7 days. The wood ones are normally 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
Might want to explain what a symposium is.
Symposium,
it's like a gathering or something,
isn't it? Yeah, it's a gathering of like-minded people coming together and sharing their creative minds and creating stuff together whilst getting on it. Yeah, having a wine or, drinkies are with music going, the fire going, and the whole thing really is just a immersed wānanga. It's just 24/7 art.
Right, total immersion.
And everyone that's there is just fully talking about upskilling your tools, where you can go overseas to expand your art career, or what are you doing wrong, or where you need to go. So everyone's very helpful in that world. And then you get the flip side of it as well, at the end of it, people are going to get a little bit stroppy and stuff. The stress kicks in and you've only got 2 days to go. So you're trying to finish so you can get a sale, because it's everyone's fighting for that sale so you can carry on by upgrade your tools. And
usually they're between 10 days and 2 weeks, and they usually have some form of auction or a special dinner at the end where they will sell to private
I imagine
people
this is
coming in.
Because this it takes so long to make and there's so much expense involved. These are all fairly expensive things, so there's a pretty limited amount of clients, aren't there?
That's right.
Buyers?
That's right. There is. Especially in New Zealand, there's a limited amount. But it's getting better. It kind of has its waves, really. So it's feast or famine.
Yeah,
it's had a bit of a lull during the COVID period. There used to be sort of like a symposium somewhere around the country every sort of month or so.
There was roughly about 4, I think, right up to 8 or 9 a year. But now they've come right down to like 1 or 2.
And people do the circuit, so some sculptors will go to every symposium
every
and they'll
one.
Travel
right.
around.
And do the buyers also do the circuit?
Like? No, you get different buyers at different places. Your client, you'll have a private clientele and they'll check out your stuff. But to get it moved from, say, if you're in down south somewhere and your client's up here and they like the piece, to get it moved up here is a nasty. Not going to happen.
Oh, so there's the cost of buying it, then there's the cost of shifting it.
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
talking, the one we said earlier was 50 tonnes?
Yeah, that was 50 tonnes.
That's crazy. Even a tonne is emission.
Yeah, that's right. Anything over 5, but even anything over 2 tonne is emission. So you've got huge high-abs, and then most of the high-ab guys don't really know how to move sculpture.
I can just imagine
it's crazy, because they'll come in and try and strop it up with chains, and you've got a $10,000 to $20,000 sculpture ready to go to the client, and one mistake, she's over, got to give all the money back. Because there's no insurance, so
no one wants to insure something like that.
Yeah, we pretty much stop our own work and sort our own moving.
Supervise it properly.
You've also got to factor in the cost of actually getting the sculpture to the work site as well, and to the price. Because it costs money to actually
get it to where we're going to work.
That's one of the hurdles is actually getting the stone, starting it. You're investing quite a lot of money in blades. They're all diamond blades.
Everything's diamond or tons of carbide, so it is an expensive game. It's taken me years to build up my toolkit, but And we've gone through trial and error, and figured out what's good, what's not. And now we can get to the point where it's anyone that wants to start off, we can go straight to the guts and, right, this tool.
Yeah.
Don't buy nothing else and just stick with those, use it this particular way, follow the formula, and just add your twist to it as you grow in the creative realm.
Can I ask where some of your artwork has ended up then? Because we're talking about it's difficult to get places, but it's obviously been bought. So
yeah. All over the place, to be honest. To Switzerland, Australia, the States, Germany, all over New Zealand, right down to the V8 supercars. That was a big hit for me, and a lot of lessons learnt there.
That's an interesting combo, V8 supercars and sculpture.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, I've done all the trophies, and then I've done the Supreme Business Awards for the government, and I don't know where all those trophies went. I had Dean Pospisil helping me back in the days, and he was awesome. I've worked with a lot of other guys that... people that want to give it a go, not a lot last, to be honest. Out of probably 150, there's 4 that are a success. And
So are you talking about clients or?
Well, no, people that want to give it a go.
Okay, well,
everyone's interested.
Apprentices.
Yeah. Apprentices. Well, let's talk about that, because that's something you want to do, isn't it, with Waikiri Sculpture Studio. Is that what we call it?
Bringing people in that don't have opportunity to do it, and just say, hey, man, there's no pressure. Just come and have a go, make something. We'll just immerse yourself with the other artists, you know.
So are you guys just generally open to people coming to you saying they want to have it a go? Is that kind of how this is working?
Yeah. Word of mouth. And make it look exciting. It's fun. The music's going, the fire's going, and the grinders are pumping. And, try to give that... the basic talk, but you've got people coming in at different areas, so you've got to have that talk, and then you've got to have it again, and then you've got to have it again. I don't mind those so much, because it's kind of my thing. I love it.
What's the thing you tell people that when they've just turned up, they're completely green and completely fresh? What do they need to know about the stone?
Well, first selection of the stone, how serious are they? Because if you really want to get into it, go buy a grinder, spend a little bit of money. I'm not saying spend thousands, but chuck in, you know, a little bit just to commit yourself, and then grow from there.
Yeah.
And myself and a couple of others, we have a lot of tools, a lot of equipment that we can help them out in the first month. And after that, I've got to kind of, if I'm not selling, I'm not upgrading my tools or buying the perishable ones, new blades, and enhancers, pins, diamond papers, gas for the concrete tools, just the basics, you know. It soon adds up,
As you're making this sound like a kind of a hand-to-mouth kind of art field where there's so much
easy.
Expense that... Yeah.
Well, once you got it, you're right. You know, once you've got, you know...
Got the tools.
Yeah, once you've got the tools and your materials in place, and having a partner or someone to support you, it goes a long way. Having a PA, a lot of the old school guys in our group can't use the phones properly. We're no good at computers. We suck at PA. So it's really good to have someone to help us with that.
I remember I had Richard Page in here a few years ago, and basically he just wanted to go and get back on the tools.
That's all we wanted to do.
All he ever wanted to do.
Yep. Yeah. He's on the money. Yep.
Yeah. And I have a feeling he didn't like having hundreds of people coming to visit.
No, it can be a distraction, but
that's what you got. That's what you got this weekend. Oh no, not sorry, next weekend.
Yeah. That's
cram it all into a weekend.
Yeah, that's all right. Do your exhibitions and your gallery openings and your parks, whatever you're doing. But otherwise, it's okay that you have people come. Because they're showing interest in your kind of work,
and that's how you gain, clientele, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think something important to mention is that, like all artists, most artists have an alternative income source, whether it be a partner that works full-time or or a savings, or you know, a part-time job or a night shift job.
Yeah,
it really is a labour of love. It's very, very, very hard to get by, especially if you have a family and a mortgage.
Yeah,
as a sculptor full time, it's virtually impossible.
How old's your youngest? Lucretia?
Six.
Okay,
yeah, so I'm raising five children.
But
you know, I have support, and I'm not sculpting full time. I'm sculpting part time. So, I think that's an important element: is that the artists that are working full time on their art and actually providing themselves enough and adequate income, they work long, 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 hard hours.
Yeah.
And you can see them dotted around Raglan. We have a lot
of
full-time artists. And you can you watch them work, and they're so, so dedicated. And that's what it requires, same in stone, is that dedication and that focus and that drive and that passion. Otherwise, it's going to fizzle. And that's what you've seen with the 150 apprentices. Yeah. It's so hard to be dedicated enough.
Yeah. Yeah, not so much apprentices, but just people of interest wanting to come and learn, and then they sort of fizz out straight away because it's like, nah, this is too much.
I guess you've got to find out, and that's how you find out, don't
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, Lucretia, you haven't tried it and left.
No, I won't. It's something that sculpture in general is something I've always been interested in, and the only reason I haven't been able to dive into it full time is I've been helping my husband run a civil infrastructure company, which we've been running for 7 years or so. Civil construction is something that is all consuming, but deeply unsatisfying. And goes against our ethos, basically.
Yeah.
So COVID was a great lesson to realign us into what we find valuable.
Yeah.
And
as people.
As people, you know, like lockdown really did a lot for all of us.
I heard the story a lot from people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was super busy during lockdown, but
but
a lot of you guys had the chance to catch your breath, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. We were at home and realised actually we really love permaculture and what's more important than being self-sufficient, you know, and trying to actually stand up on your own 2 feet.
Yeah.
Rather than providing the infrastructure for the monster.
Lucretia, I wanted to ask you, like you're obviously have in a great position to learn from Ty, and like what sort of things are you learning? Because I don't even know how to ask the question, because I don't really know what it's like in this situation. But if you could just talk about that,
I'm learning a lot of technical skills.
Yeah,
is the main thing, and Ty mentioned with the tools, you know, especially with the imports from China, there's just a sea of options with. You know, it's so easy to get the wrong tools and the wrong materials and the wrong rock. And it's refining all of those, the technical things, and also, you know, the simplification is really, really important. It's very easy to slip back into trying to do something too difficult.
Like you would with clay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So, it's a patience game.
Yeah.
It really is. And I learned that from Ty, and I feel really honoured that he's giving me his time, and I know time is precious to everyone, right? So when someone gives you their time, I don't pay Ty for the learning I'm getting, and so I just feel really lucky.
She's just keen as beans, so let's do it.
Yeah, well, that's inspiring in itself, isn't
bloody
it?
Bloody oath, yeah. Anyone that's keen, I'll show them the skills, you know.
The main requirement's turning up, right?
Yeah.
Just turning up every day, turning up and continuing to turn up when it gets hard. And I've been looking for a mentor for a long time, and Ty's been away.
How did this happen that you guys are working together?
Bumped into each other over in Thames.
Yeah, there was a symposium in April called Ngako. It's a fundraiser for one of the primary schools over there. And we were both over there.
Come back in a bit.
Sorry. And we were both over there. Ty was doing some stone sculpture, and I was attending Jocelyn Pratt's woman's stone workshop.
Yeah.
She offered a workshop for free, teaching just woman stone sculpture. And so I bumped into Ty there. But we had already been friends from long ago when, I don't know if you remember, but Ty ran a symposium on the lawn of the school, the Raglan area school.
I don't remember that. That's great, though. I had an experience once where I went to the it was in Whangarei, the Quarry Summer Do, and I was doing earth building, but there were all these people on the lawn doing sculpturing, and it was just awesome. It was such a good vibe.
Yeah, that was,
you
know, nice.
Yeah, with it, you brought, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so we travel all around the place to do that and do symposiums, but there's not enough of them now.
So, Chris, sorry I interrupted.
So Ty was, you ran that, didn't you?
Yeah.
The symposium at Raglan Area School. It would have been about 2008 or 9.
Yeah.
And that's where I also met Jocelyn Pratt, who was running this woman's workshop. So there was probably 15 sculptors. Some were doing wood, some were doing multimedia, some were doing stone, hard stone, soft stone. There was a bit of a mixture.
Yeah.
And then there was an auction at the end.
Mm.
And I think that would have been one of the first times I met Ty there. Mm. And so, yeah, we've just sort of kept in touch over the years. And when we were in Thames in April, he mentioned that, you know, he had this opportunity in Manu Bay to set up a bit of a studio. And so we just sort of got cracking with that. And
yeah, it kind of grew. Yeah.
Inspired, yeah.
Just take the moment when it strikes.
Yeah. We had the place and it was just going to be a studio, work studio, but now it's kind of embellished into a sculpture walk park, and with a whole heap of interests of artists that have kind of local artists as well, but they've been in the woodworks, kind of sticking to themselves. So I pulled a couple of them out of the, come on, let's do this, man.
So what are people going to see when they come to your place on Arts Weekend then?
A massive variation of all sizes, different mediums.
Yeah.
There'll be new emerging artists to 50-year vet. There'll be old school artists that have a world of skills that haven't had the shot to jump into a gallery. There's no pressure, just get in there, do it, and let's see where it goes, man.
This definitely sounds worth checking out.
It's essentially an outdoor gallery.
Yeah, I imagine it would be, yeah.
With a loop track through through the Ngahere, with a little waterfall. So it's very Raglan. It's very rustic.
It's going to be an experience.
Really, sculpture hasn't been represented in the Arts Weekend enough.
Yeah.
And that's like a micro example of the whole country.
Yeah.
So we're part of the sculpture revolution.
So how do people find you guys?
I guess at the moment we've got a workshop at Tom Rudolph's. Memorial.
That's where we're working. That's where we're making the sculptures.
Yeah, there's three or four of us down there, and Matua Tom Rudolph has given us the opportunity to make dust and use the diggers noise. To lift and noise and stay on site so we can do all our work there team.
But for the Arts Weekend, where people are going to that site?
No. So that's just where we're doing it all at this stage. And then we ship it all to Manu Bay to our sculpture walk. Yeah.
So people are going to drive out Wainui Road. And
they'll see the flag.
They'll see the sign, the flag, and
is it like before or after you get to the Manu Bay turn off to go down to the
before.
In between Soulscape and Manu Bay.
Yeah. I've forgotten the number.
There'll be a flag.
Look for a flag.
Yeah, look for the flag on the left hand side.
Yeah. No, I think if people know it's before you get to the actual park area. Yeah. Look for the flag.
After Soulscape.
Yeah, I definitely feel like
from town.
I feel like this is something I want to check out myself, even though in advance I don't have the cash.
Is all right. He's price week for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, from right down to 200-300, right up, you know, so on.
And I think it's important for people to come and have a look, even if they're not going to buy, you know, because then that's word of mouth, we know, is the most powerful tool in marketing.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued, eh? Mm. So, yeah.
Beautiful vibe.
Yeah. It's great. Hey guys, thanks heaps for coming in. We've been talking to Lucretia Bird and Tai Moana Muli from Waikerri Sculpture Studio. And Arts Weekend coming up, not this weekend now that's about to start, weekend after, I guess everyone knows that in town. So I hope you get heaps of people coming through.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.